Alright, time for another DraftPhysics.com video presentation. Alright, so we're going to go over this kinetic energy stuff one more time. The whole rolling things, moving things, weighing things, observing what things do to demonstrate that it's just impossible for mv squared or 1/2 mv squared to be a reasonable description of reality. It isn't. Momentum is all there is, and it's created by lots of different forces in lots of different ways, but that's all there is. There's just the mass and a velocity, and you can't square it. It doesn't work. It doesn't make any sense. Now, I pointed out how levers just make it so obvious, but all these other experiments have the obvious bit in them a little bit also. So the big catch it's all, and you know, my fault, my bad, in the sense that somehow I'm not explaining this in a clear enough way, okay, for people to get the truth. And okay, so there's this phenomenon of gravity, all right, that, you know, going either way, okay, so pushing something up against gravity or letting something fall from gravity. So it's free falling. It's not hitting surfaces. The catch is, as soon as you hit another surface, as soon as you make contact with some surface like the Earth, you, depending on how substantial the contact is, that is how much it's not moving you the same speed as you, you let all of your energy go into it, that object, and so you go back to zero. You lose whatever you got from gravity as soon as you hit the ground. All right, all the stuff you've stored, but you still have your weight, and your weight is just a consequence of the gravity. So if you move, if you're not moving at all, okay, you still weigh something. All right, so your mass is clearly moving because you've got a velocity. You have to have a velocity to have weight. And it wouldn't be any different than if I was to move you sideways, you'd understand it perfectly. Say, if I'm moving you sideways, pushing you, then I push you with a certain amount of force to make you weigh a certain amount on a scale. So if I want you to weigh, 150 pounds, I have to push you with 150 pounds worth of pressure. There's no other way to make your 150 mass units, we could call them, have weight until I push them. They're not going to move the scale unless I give them some sort of velocity into the scale. So yes, when you're sitting still, gravity's still working on you. That's a separate drawing, but anyway. All right, so the thing that fools everybody is this four thing. Okay, so you move four units of distance to just double your velocity. So 2x the velocity, and you went four units of distance. Now it's four units of distance, sure, that's four times as much as this, so is that four times the energy? This is only one unit of distance, this is four units of distance. You're just saying, okay, you're just saying it's reasonable for me to say distance is all that matters. That's the answer. Now, I've pointed out that this falling time is one unit of falling time, and this whole thing here is only two units of falling time. So I pointed out how it's only twice as much. It's only twice as much time in the gravity. And I've tried to point out how it's all about how long you're in gravity. It's about how long you apply pressure here. That's the energy. It's about how long I hold this pen. If I hold it for 1 second, it's going to take a certain amount of, four units of rice I have to eat to hold this pen, whatever it is. Four kernels of rice. That's just something that occurred to me. I mean, I'm living on such a small number of calories. A bowl of rice, a beet, and a tomato or something per day. So I get all of this, okay, out of a bowl of rice, a tomato, and a beet. It's kind of amazing. Anyway, if I hold it twice as long, you kind of figure out, that's twice as much energy. Whatever. So there are lots of twos here to sit there and tell you something. So, and what would it weigh? So if I drop it from four times the height, okay, I did the experiment. I mean, you know, it's twice as much. So four times the height only equals twice the lbs, okay? Twice the 2x, okay, the pounds. That's all you get out of it. So it's only twice the time. It's only twice the pounds. And I did point out, though, you know, the gravitational argument, you know, if you do a flyby of a planet or an asteroid or anything that has gravity, okay, even a magnet, anything you fly by, the faster you fly by it, the less it bends you. Kind of pointing out it's really about how long you sit in the force. The force is a constant force coming at a constant rate per a constant unit of time. And so it's all about how long you sit there. It's going to decide how much of you gets pushed towards that object. Because these velocities don't really combine. I mean, you're adding velocities. You know, you have one in this direction. Something can add one in this direction. Yeah, your outcome, your net outcome is going to be this direction. But frankly, you're still moving this way and that way subatomically. All right, anyway. That's not as important an argument. So you have these twos here to sit there and just tell you, okay, I got to account for the twos that aren't representing the four. So, I mean, Galileo pointed out that, yeah, well, when you launch something or when you're letting something drop, there's this 3-to-1 ratio. You know, this takes 3 units of distance in the same time as this 1 unit. So when I'm rolling something, right, so if we play this little rolly game and we roll one thing at twice the velocity as we're rolling the other thing, the fact is, yeah, this one goes just 1 unit, this one goes 4 units of distance, but again, the time is just 2 units of time total here. And what happens right here? Right here, okay, is where this goes to half its velocity. So it's not half its velocity in the middle. So it's kind of obvious that it isn't per distance, right? If it was per distance, if you were gaining energy per, you know, hunk of gravitational distance, you know, moving in the gravity, if every little unit of distance was a unit of work, then this should be half the velocity at the halfway point, not way down here. So these experiments indicate, you know, if you do these real experiments, you'll see the truth. And again, all you have to do is weigh these objects, right? So you have one that's twice the velocity. They got the same mass. All right, just use the same mass. Twice the velocity. It's only going to weigh twice as much. That's all. It's not going to weigh four times as much. It's just going to weigh twice as much. Momentum. Okay? MV. Okay? I mean, I've tried to make a comparison to voltages and wattages, right? I mean, this is, this is your momentum. This is your wattage, okay? So, you know, they've turned 1/2 mv² and they call it a joule is what they're using to measure now. It used to be in foot-pounds. So if we still use foot-pounds for momentum, you'd get the idea. But I'm just saying that's you know, the units is just what they've messed up here, all right? But, I mean, it's just mv, just like it's just amps times voltage equals watts. So there's a perfect correlation between a watt and a joule. They're the same thing. 1 watt is 1 joule. They equal the same thing. So you see, in voltage, it's just amps and volts. It's just how many atoms, how much mass, moving what speed. That's all you've got inside of a wire, technically. I mean, it's not literally speed because you can't see the speed of the particles because they're moving all kinds of places inside the atom, so you can't measure their real speed. Because they don't travel a perfectly straight line. But anyway, that's all you've got. Voltage, pressure, and mass, amount. Amount of things moving. How much pressure do the things moving have? So it's the electron pressure and the number of electrons. And that's all you got. You got the number of mass units, the amount of electrons and protons you have, the number, your atomic number, of units of mass times velocity. And it gives you the amount of work, the amount of watts, the amount of energy, the amount of pressure, the amount of weight. They're all the same thing. every single one of them. It all adds up to the same thing. All right, so I'll take a little break and see if I can say this again in some way that, you know, something goes, phew, I get it. Oh, okay, got it. I get it now. All right, I'm going to throw in a little more complicated part here, just because I did Google it. You know, how far do I have to drop something to double its weight? No answers. Okay. No obvious ones. You have to go picking through everything to try to find it. It's a question, no answer kind of thing. So anyway, I did the experiment. So we do know, I think we know. Okay. So it came out to be about like 8 millimeters. So that's all you have to do. You drop something from 8 millimeters and you'll double its weight. So whatever you think its weight is, whatever we call that, its weight in gravity. If you want to double its weight in gravity, you drop it 8 millimeters. So 8 millimeters is essentially going to be the 4 times the height. Okay, so you can kind of figure that out, that the 4 times the height doubles the velocity, doubles the weight. So gravity, all right, if I'm going to double the weight and I just want to get back to what gravity is doing, the exact weight that gravity creates, well, then I'd do 1/4 of that, right? So it's 2 millimeters. So your falling height in gravity is 2 millimeters. Now the trick is, okay, that you kind of know you're not moving 2 millimeters, you know, a second. You know, you're not, hey, I just, you know, 2 millimeters. That wouldn't be a second anyway, right? Because it happens in less than a second. But the trick is gravity is taking whatever the time unit is, whatever your velocity is, and it's not really technically, okay? It's not doing it all at the same time. It doesn't go all the 2 millimeters this way. What it does is it pushes down and it lets the Earth push it back up, and then it pushes down and lets the Earth push it back up, and then it pushes it down and lets the Earth push it. So it's doing this. So obviously it can do a lot of this in the same time. So it, all that counts is this amount of distance. So say that was 1/1000th of a millimeter, that down. Well, it does 1/1000th of a millimeter down, you know, in 1 second, 1,000,000 times, you could argue. And that would end up actually turning into 2 millimeters. All those little millionths would add up to two millimeters. All right, so you can understand if that's what's really happening in gravity, that gravity's oscillating you. It pushes, and then the Earth pushes back, and then it pushes, and the Earth pushes back, and it pushes, and that's what's happening to each little bit. They're all jiggling in different frequencies at different rates. Parts of you, it has to move through your whole body, of, you know, eventually, that pressure, that vibration, all right? But that's all it is. Anyway, that accounts for it. But you know, you've got this number, so you know this is the truth, okay? And if you want to double this, you got to go 16, okay? 16 millimeters. And then if you want to double that, you go 30. No, you got to go 62 or whatever it is, right? 6 and 6 is 12, 4, 64. Okay, so you got to go 64, well, after the 32. After the, first you do 16, yes, you just keep exponentially increasing by this rate of 4. Okay, and so you can figure out that eventually if you fall a meter, you know, you're going to weigh 1,200 pounds or something. You know, some pretty big number. But that's how the weight is increased. That's how the pressure is increased. And what is pressure? I mean, what's the nature of pressure? Pressure is just created by moving into something with a mass over a unit of time. As pointed out, it's the pressure of this holding something, the pressure of pushing on something. You can understand that if you have to hold it twice as long, it's twice as much work. If you have to hold it three times as long, it's three times as, you know, it's amount of time. Amount of time the pressure is applied will equal how much work it is. So then we can go back to something like the gravity argument and friction. And you can sort of understand that the friction is an amount of arrows, okay, in an amount of time. And so if I increase how fast I'm going, I separate these arrows. And you end up with, because of the time, okay, there's just as many arrows in this little time, because you're moving slowly, okay, as there is in this long piece of time. it's just about how much energy you can collect is completely dependent on how long the pressure is on you. So I've tried to point out that if you were a piece of the road, you would be very happy if a car goes over you very fast, because the amount of aero you're going to actually get is going to be tiny, okay, as a percentage, compared to somebody who's over here, who's going to get a lot of aero. A lot of the weight of the object is going to go into this part of the ground versus this part of the ground. So the further back I go, the faster the velocity, the smaller the pressure aero. The slower the velocity, the larger the pressure aero. And the pressure, the pushing down, is the part that allows the energy, your this energy, the energy you got going that way, has to leave through this aero, through this pressure aero. The pressure aero is what allows the velocity aero to be shortened. Okay, so the more pressure, the more velocity you're losing at a faster rate. So you're losing a lot less. You're sinking into the ground less of your energy here than you're sinking into the ground here. All right. That's another way to say it. Let's see if we can find a third way. Well, I guess I'll just point out. So, I mean, these are the experiments I've done to verify. Okay, I dropped something from 8 millimeters. It essentially doubled its weight. Now, crude experiment, not highly scientific. It might be 9 millimeters. You know, could be 7.78 or something. It just doesn't really matter, in my opinion. All right, but that's what it takes. 8 millimeters of height, a tiny, you know, just less than a centimeter, double your weight. So if I can lift you up and then drop you on a scale, 1 millimeter and 1 centimeter, you're gonna weigh twice as much. Rather dramatic, frankly, but it sort of makes sense in your head. You could have somebody standing on your chest, but if you lifted that same weight and then let it fall on your chest, yeah, not good. Anyway, all right. So we'll take another pause and. So, yeah, you know, I'm just pointing, look, it's not that complicated. You should be able to follow along. Alright, so Levis, return to the lever. Okay, the lever. The simplest object. I mean, realistically, just really simple. So I can put any kind of pressure on this side. So I'm just going to drop anything anywhere over here. And what I'm going to do over here, okay, let's understand these are notches of distance, is I'm going to put a 2 mass here, and I'll put a 1 mass here. All right, not at the same time. All right, so first I put the 2 mass. This is a constant force, a constant drop, same exact thing. So when I put the 2 mass here, this will move a certain distance. The lever will move, okay? It will change its position. All right. And so we'll draw that. This lands. This is now, the 2 mass is now here, and it's now in this gravitational position. So when the lever is moving, it's going to move a certain distance in a certain time. It's going to have a certain velocity here. And the fact is, this velocity here, this location where the 1 mass could be placed, is going to be exactly the same as if the 1 mass was there and the 2 mass wasn't here. The fact is the lever can't move any different for the 1 mass than it moves for the 2 mass. This movement here, this falling rate, will be exactly the same. This will slow down. I mean, as it hits, okay, it's not going to move the lever with exactly the same speed as it started with, but it's going to give its velocity to the other side. So we know that it's going to make a 95%, let's say, okay, conversion of the energy. A little bit will be lost here. But, you know, depending on how well you can make this fulcrum, how much friction you can remove. That's what bearings do, you know. Bearings, see, I mean, people get confused. I don't want to change the subject. But like gyroscopes and stuff, people wonder, well, how does the gyroscope have this inertia? You know, the fact that it can move one way easily and it moves another way with a whole lot of resistance. Well, it's because when you're moving it, you're pushing the bearing. You're smashing the bearing into one side or smashing the bearing into the other side. And depending on which side you're smashing the bearing into, you're going to obviously get the rotational energy, which means you're now taking away the energy. You're converting this rotation into this surface, and because you hit here, it means the direction is here. If you hit here, the direction is here. If you hit here, the direction is here. So you're causing the directionality because you're taking the angular momentum and taking it at a certain position. And if you take the angular momentum from a certain position, it has a certain, just like with friction and a wheel spinning, the direction that you're using to create an opposite, equal and opposite velocity, the direction is obviously pushing on the earth. The wheel pushes on the earth that way to get you to go that way. Well, when it's rotational energy, you can pull it out anywhere. You can pull it out in any direction. But it does matter where you apply the surface. So the surface is telling you which way the gyroscope is going to want to go. And if you're fighting against it, you're going to feel, okay, the pressure. You're going to feel the fact that it's got velocity in this direction, and you're trying to push against that velocity. So the bearing loses some. It's not perfect, but you can make it better and better and better and less by making it smaller and smaller, making the surfaces smaller and smaller. So I used a wire, a piece of fishing line. It's a pretty small bearing. So not too much energy can escape through that tiny little bearing. So anyway, but the point is that I'm asserting, and I think you should say, well, it's probably true. I mean, you should be at least reasonably inclined to say yes until somebody says otherwise. That's a pretty good idea. That there really is no way to tell from this side whether I have a two mass or a one mass, because the lever moves identically. No matter what mass I put in, whatever force I put in here, these two objects, if I videotape just this side, okay, no matter what I dump in as energy, these two objects will move identically in the circumstance. So if I just have this object on the lever and I videotape it, and then I videotape it with this object on the lever, they're going to both do exactly the same thing. There's not going to be any difference in this position. The movement of the lever will be identical because this has to be twice the distance. This has to be one unit of distance. It's the only way the lever can function. It can't do anything other than force those mathematical relationships. So, as I pointed out, obviously when a lever is, if I cause a lever to oscillate, just get rid of that. it's almost gotten rid of. All right, so I just take the lever and I put the one mass out here, okay, and I put the two mass here, okay, two, one. All right, so one unit of distance, two units of distance. And then I put any energy in, it oscillates perfectly. This balances, right? So we know this balances. And what my argument to you is this is showing you how gravity works again. Because even though it's balanced, What's really happening is this is jiggling this big, and this is only jiggling this big. Okay, this is jiggling twice as much up and down, the billionth of a millimeter of up and down, and this has a little less because it's got the bigger object on it. So it still is pushing into the lever. It's still doing all of the stuff you would do if you were sitting on the lever. Your butt would still be saying, I'm sitting on a lever, and it's pushing me back. So even though if I put a person here sitting on the lever and a person here sitting on a seesaw, you're not going to say, hey, I'm in free fall. Hey, I'm not doing the gravity thing anymore. Okay, my butt doesn't hurt. No, of course it will. You'll feel you're getting pushed back up. You'll feel it because it has to go through your whole body. And it goes through it differentially. That's why you feel it. You feel it because you have little sense nerves, okay, little nervy thingies with strings. And the fact is that the nerve moves, or the flesh moves, but they're moved differently. And that's why your nerves can feel it. It's because this one's doing one thing and this one's doing another thing. But the fact is the total is the distance that you're moving constantly in gravity. That's why you're feeling it, is because it's not the same. Like gravity pushes both the nerve, okay, and all the stuff next to it. It pushes it all the same. It all moves the same. No matter how little this is, no matter how big this is, it all moves the same. So if this is going up, this is going down, it's all moving the same. So there's no recognition. So it's not until you hit the earth that you start jiggling. As you're free falling, everything's fine. So the earth is what causes the, hey, gravity pushes in, the earth pushes back. Gravity pushes in, the earth pushes back. That only happens until you stop free falling. So you don't feel gravity making you go somewhere because everything's moving the same. And it's only when you start creating the differential. You're not doing the counterforce, isn't gravitational. So it's not moving everything the same. It's an interesting question, being in a tug-of-war position in gravity, you know, being halfway between two things. I don't know whether the astronauts experienced any of that in going to the moon, because it's, you know, it's a more perfect weightlessness in the sense that you're not going to go either way. And I wonder if they felt anything. But anyway, it doesn't matter. The point is gravity's working on the little bits, and you really aren't going to feel it because it doesn't have to go through just your butt and then work its way up through all the other parts of your body. It goes into all the parts. All right. So I oscillate this lever with any kind of energy on either side, okay? And the fact is, it's going to oscillate regardless of what side. So I take the same force on either side, and it's going to oscillate exactly the same because this is perfectly balanced. And all you're doing is adding something extra. And the fact is this will move twice the distance as this moves. It will continue to oscillate. And obviously, this can't have twice the amount of energy. I mean, the kinetic energy theory can't possibly be correct because there's no way this can be twice as much energy on this side, because all of the energy goes into gravitational potential energy. Now, I think it's a really poor way to say something, to say there's potential energy, because there really isn't. But this moves into the stream of gravity, okay, against the stream. So it's pushing into the spring. It's pushing against the magnet. And so there's storage of this extra pressure because you've gone higher in the gravity, which means you're going to have the potential to fall further. Fall further. No, I don't like that too much. But anyway, you've increased. Yeah, no, you wouldn't call it increasing its mass. Well, but regardless, you know that the idea is that, yes, you go higher in gravity, you have greater potential to fall to the point you were before, blah, 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 blah. So this has falling potential. And so that's all you're doing. So you can't put 400 joules over here, okay, up into potential energy, and then put, you know, and then say, but this only puts 200 this way, and then it still oscillates. How can 200 joules of energy push something up into 400 joules of potential? Something with 200 joules of pressure can't make 400 joules of potential energy, and then 400 joules of potential energy can't disappear, and only 200 joules go up over here. So we know this is a storage device. It's like putting energy into a battery, pulling the energy out, you can't put 400 watts in and only store 200 and then somehow get the 400 back out. I mean, it's not possible. So I mean, this lever thing proves this. It's not possible that this is twice as much energy over here. Just because it's twice as much distance, somehow it's twice as much energy. No, it's one half the mass, and it's twice the velocity, and that's all it is. And that adds up to the same thing as two masses and half the velocity. It just, 10-ton train, 5-ton train, oscillating perfectly. How can you deny that there's no way that the 5-ton train has twice the energy? I'll call that an effort. Just say, I have to admit my failure. This, I think it's so obvious that the 2s are all over the place here. It's 2 times. The only thing that's four is the stupid distance thing, and it can be understood why. No, I'll do that. I'll do the more current experiment just to illustrate more perfectly that if we get rid of using roads as a way of measuring distance, that you'll see it's only twice. All right, so I don't like this experiment just because it's not conclusive enough, but for the point made, I think it's pretty conclusive. So you can use a ramp, okay, to do the four times the height, okay, and then one times the height. All right, and you'll double the velocity. So it's 2x the velocity. So you roll the same object down this ramp, okay, just have one of them four times higher than the other, okay, so you could just make a ramp with two balls on it. All right, well, failure. All right, this one's four times higher up on the ramp, and you let them go. And what you're going to get is this one's going to have one velocity. This one's going to have twice the velocity. All right. And the expectation is they're saying this one's going to end up being four times the energy. But if we let them fly off a cliff, okay, we get rid of friction. So the friction, if we let them roll on a surface, we know the rate at which gravity pushes them into the surface is going to decide how much energy they lose. But if they're flying through the air isn't doing this. Okay, the air isn't pushing down. The air is pushing in all directions. So it's applying the pressure, you know, kind of evenly. Doesn't matter, you know, which way they're moving or how they're moving. Now, there's be a little more air resistance for the faster object than the slower object because of the fact that the air pressure accumulates and you end up with a terminal velocity and all that, but we're not going near fast enough for that to kick in. So you should get a pretty consistent result. So what's going to happen is this one's four times higher than this one, and they're going to fly off the cliff, and you have the simple fact is this will have twice the velocity, all right, and there's no way you can change the outcome, right? Now, what's happening is the ball will fall on a trajectory. And what we know is it's really doing this, that, and this. Okay? That and this. Okay? The gravity line gets faster as it goes faster. So, you know, it'll lose half its speed. Let's see, where is it? It's down. The down speed is increasing, okay? And the forward speed is decreasing. Just because of a little bit of air resistance, but that's all. And when this hits, it's going to bounce pretty severely this way, indicating that it really hasn't lost much of this. So through the whole process, the only thing taking away this way is the air. There's no road to do it anymore. So it's really still going this way, and all you're changing is how fast it's going this way. So as it's falling, this fast arrow going down is getting bigger and bigger. So it looks like, oh yeah, it's getting weaker that way. It's not really getting weaker that way. It's just getting stronger this way. See, so you're seeing more red. If we said this was a red color, if it turned more red as it falls faster this way, and it turned, you know, it was blue this way, you'd understand why it's getting violet instead of purple. So it looks like it's getting much weaker this way, like it's running out of energy. It's really not. Okay, it's just that it's going to run out of ground. It's going to run out of air. But like I said, the bounce tells you that it still has a lot of this way. So when it hits, it's going to bounce, okay, in that direction really aggressively. More aggressive than its landing curve. So the higher I go, the more this looks like a straight line. The more it looks like it's not going this way at all. Right? So that I can go higher and I can make it look like it's not going this way at all. But when it hits the ground, it's going to bounce this way. So you'll see that it's still going that way. It's just that you can't see it anymore because this velocity is overwhelming the little velocity this way. All right, but the point is, this is what you're going to get. Okay? So it's four times the height, but it's not going to go four times further. Because it's only twice the velocity. Now, so we already know that, so this is the expectation. Now, I would argue that the thing to do is let them land on a scale, okay, that measures both directions. Measures how much energy it has this way and how much energy it has this way. Now, because they're the same mass, Well, we know all the energy this way, down, is gravitational. They only acquire down here. All they have here is this way. They don't have any velocity down here. They just have this way, because you use this ramp to convert it all, okay? So if you use a nice curved ramp, you used all this downward pressure and you converted it with the friction into this way. So that's all this one has, is this way. This gravity is going to be equal for both. So it's not in the equation. This is going to be equal for both. So the only thing that's going to matter is how much pressure it has in this direction. And the fact is, you put them on the scale, this one has still got its velocity this way, and this one's got its velocity this way. This one's going to have twice as much velocity. It's going to weigh twice as much. It's going to push the spring on the scale twice as much. It weighs twice as much. All right, that really should be enough. Weight is energy. That's really the point. Okay, I mean, that's the key that makes the whole thing understandable. The only reason why your mass can ever have any significance in the universe as a player is it has to move. And when it moves, it has weight. Its gravity is moving you, giving your mass weight. Weight is the measure of energy. You have energy sitting in gravity. All right, it's a fact. It's just that there's no way to collect it because it's going like this. All right, and we can't stick something in there to collect that because it's a tiny vibration and it's, you know, we don't have any instrument that can collect it, but it's actually happening. Okay, we are converting our gravitational falling rate, okay, even when we're sitting still, into the Earth. Technically, it would be collectible. You put a device between the two. But there's no device we can make that can collect that tiny amount of the conversion frequency, you could argue. But we can collect it. We raise you up a little bit and drop you, then we can collect the energy. But unfortunately, we have to raise you to do it. We can't collect that. But the fact is, we can collect the thermal energy, so you can understand all kinds of ways we can use heat to create energy, and we know we're heating. It's just such a small amount of heat dissipated so, you know, rapidly that we can't really grab it before, we can't grab it without it leaking somewhere else first. All right. Oh, this is just so, you know. People should not really, you shouldn't be so attached and dependent on what you've been told, not to recognize the facts don't add up. A lever is a free energy device, if you believe 1/2 mv². There's just no getting around it. It can create free energy. I put the energy in on the heavy side, and I can get free energy on the light side. That can't be the truth, or we'd all have one. Shit. Okay, anyway. All right. So, this has been another draftphysics.com video presentation, expending the energy and effort, the words, the vocabulary, to help persuade you that the truth isn't what you think it is, and it isn't what you think it is.